We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is AJ and Dusty.
All right, listen up. I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
With AJ McCord.
That beer's getting better, I'll admit that. But you're still weak on the left side.
And Dusty Hera.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard spotted underwear, bikini style, sir.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
What kind of power?
Good afternoon, happy Tuesday to ya. It is the 30th of November, 2021. Dusty Hare, AJ McCord. What's up, McCord?
What's up?
Last day of November. And then we officially hit, like, holiday season officially.
What do you mean?
Like, officially.
We've been in holiday
December's
season.
December's like it, though, you know
well,
what I mean?
No.
Okay.
I'm not going to stand for, I stood by your statement of not turning on the lights until after Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
But now you are doing what you accused me of doing, which is just forgetting altogether about Thanksgiving and not giving Thanksgiving its due because the holiday season began with Thanksgiving season.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I think so.
That's fair. I had an awkward encounter just now on my walk down here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got one of these Apple Watches and I told my wife I was not going to be wearing it all the time. And I'm trying to be better at wearing it more often than I have, you know?
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
It was a gift. I think she was being very thoughtful with the gift and she was, and I was just like, yeah, I'm not a watch person. So I'm trying to wear it a little bit more.
Okay.
Well, all my text messages go to this thing.
Yes, they do.
So my wrist is like vibrating. I take a look at my wrist and I'm walking down the hallway and then I looked up. Ah, somebody was right in front of me because I'm like squinting to read the text messages even though I have my phone in my pocket.
Yes.
But I almost ran into somebody down the hallway. Because I was reading my damn watch.
Yep.
The thing's a hazard to us all.
I think it is. I've stopped wearing mine, actually.
For that reason?
Partially for that reason. And because I used to get very, like, stop telling me to stand. I have to sit for my job.
Oh, I turned those off.
And then it was like, it's been an hour since you've stood up. And you're like, all right, leave me alone. I just felt like I'm in a space. This goes back to the fact that apparently my notifications for Do Not Disturb are telling people again.
That's right.
Stop, like, at some point, the line is drawn. And for me, having, like, if I choose to leave my phone somewhere, it's because I'd rather not be bothered.
Right.
But then, if I have a watch that can still bother me, it defeats the purpose.
Okay.
So I stopped wearing it unless I'm going hiking, because then I like to, you know, track the mileage and all that jazz.
And all that jazz.
Yeah, and stuff.
Okay. Jazz and stuff.
And jazz and stuff, yeah.
What you just said kind of reminds me here of, I wonder how people feel about push notifications on their phone. When you get an app, they immediately want access to just alert you to everything.
Yes, they do.
How do you allow push notifications on your
device? I do, but then when I go on vacation, I turn them all off.
Well, you can do that just like in one fell swoop?
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't know that. Will?
Yeah.
You're pro?
I'm pro watch. I'm pro everything. In fact, I know something you guys probably don't just because I looked at my watch right now.
What happened?
I don't know. Did you get the notification?
12:04?
Something. Somebody got hired.
Dame's
got
likely out tonight.
Oh, I did see that. That was before. That was a Chris Haynes Twitter notification, which I got on my phone.
See, you had to take the effort to actually move your head probably 2 degrees more
my
down.
Gosh, how will I survive?
I just glanced like this, turned my wrist, and I went, oh, he's out tonight.
How will I survive?
I also enjoy the fact that
2 degrees of movement.
With a watch, I actually don't look at my phone as much. Because I get in the pattern if I do get a notification. Well, no, because if I look at my phone and then I get the notification, then it goes into the, well, now I need to open it.
Right.
Now I'm on my phone. Now I'm on Twitter. Now I'm on my timeline. Well, now I'm scrolling.
Yep.
And then 30 minutes later, I haven't done anything.
It's a vicious cycle.
With my watch, I just get the update and I read it and I go, huh. And then I go on with my day.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm in the minority here, but I just immediately go to nope. Anytime I like download an app, no. You're not getting anything from me.
Well,
I don't want push notifications. I don't want Yeah, it's
whatever
a,
it is.
It's a damn mystery why I even download these apps, because I don't want to know anything. I don't want them to know anything about me. And I don't want to know anything from them. It's like a total convenience base because of the cycle, like what Will's just talking about, where you get caught in this cycle where you go to, you know, okay, so say I have all of my notifications from ESPN, CBS Sports, The Athletic, the Fox Sports app, Yahoo Sports app.
Like, what
Whoa.
Now I think we might have just found the problem.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Well, no.
That's too many apps, dude.
Slash doubling, tripling, and quadrupling.
Yeah. That's why I'm not playing favorites here. Nobody gets access to the push notifications from me. So I just get like nothing, right? Mm. And that is the thing, because I'll get stuck in the cycle.
Mm.
And this is what I do is like, I'll go, okay, well, I got that. Oh, well, I'm going to go read this story now. And then I'll get, it turns into just this, bad. I'm bad at it.
No,
so I just turn them all off.
I get that.
You should download the Bleacher Report app and then just turn those on. And then you're good. Bleacher Report is the most consistent about not only being first of reporting things, but also sending you really good content. I don't turn any other of the notifications. I have ESPN, Bleacher Report, and The Athletic, and that's it.
I see. I have, the way I knew about Dame was because I have Chris Haynes alerts on.
So
I
got it from Bleacher Report. Anytime he tweets, you just get it?
Yes. Yeah. Because like Haynes, Woj, I think I have Shams on too. Those three don't do anything on Twitter other than break news typically, right? Like they're not replying to people. They're not. What sometimes I know when Woj was on SportsCenter. But other than that, those three pretty typically, that's where I get my NBA news.
Yeah. And you just, boom.
Yep. Now, it's really funny because then it's like, who was first of the three, right? Because then it's like, because I get one, two, three. Sometimes it's Woj, then Chris, then Shams. Then it's like Chris, Shams, Woj. It's very fun.
And then they all just add,
keep score.
They all add like, not even a sentence, but like a word.
Right.
So it's different from the other guys. It's like, come on, man.
Yep.
One of you didn't get. There's three reports here, and this is like at the NFL too. Whether it's like Rapoport,
Schefter,
or Glazer.
Yep.
Right. Those three guys will do the exact same thing as the NBA three, which is I'm just going to add a word.
Yep.
And that's going to be a completely different report, and you're going to be fooled by it.
Do you think that they're on a group message?
Probably.
You think like agents and GMs and players just have like a group message of like to the newsbreakers?
Yeah, they should.
And like, then it's just like whoever's agent, like let's say it was Dame's agent, just has like all three of them on a group message. And then it's just who can tweet it out faster.
Bingo.
I don't think that's how it works.
Nope.
But
that'd be great if it was.
It'd be pretty funny.
Well, because I mean, how do they all get it within minutes of each other outside of... Like Chris Haynes has the Woj alerts and he's like, well, gonna add a word to this. You
know? No, because Chris oftentimes is first for especially Portland stuff.
Yeah. But this is the reason why you need all the different apps, though, is because they cover the sports so differently, right? Like The Athletic is way better. Like I'm sorry, but The Athletic's NBA coverage is not as like locally where you got like local teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as a whole with the league, like that's where you want to go, Yahoo or ESPN, right? because Shams does his stadium stuff and the Athletic. They're really good for free agency, but for college football, the Athletic is nails, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you want local beat writer stuff, the Athletic, really good.
Yep.
If you want full coverage of the league as of itself, it's weird because it's all like fluff stuff, but it's actual news. Is the NFL Network with Rappaport and like Tom Pelissero.
Yeah.
Because Schefter's taken quite a bit of a hit in the last year.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, other than
the whole Mr. Editor thing.
Yeah.
And then there was the...
Was that big of a hit?
Like, huh?
Has that suffered?
Yes, because that was followed up by the one-sided report that he just released about, you know, the home burglary, domestic violence thing with Dalvin Cook.
Yes.
Where it was just like, dude, an agent literally told you that and you didn't call anybody.
Yep.
We have two apologies this season from Schefter.
That's true. You're right. I forgot about that.
Been a ding. Been a ding.
So... I also have like some notifications on like for social media stuff. Like I don't find out when my posts do well, but like I have certain networks or players or people that if they post on social media, I'll get an alert for it.
Oh.
Because oftentimes we read into what a player is posting, right?
Yeah.
So you have to know about that.
Boy, there are a few things that I care about less than what athletes are posting on social media.
Until we talk about it.
Yeah, I know.
Until it becomes something that you're like, wait, what did he mean by these lyrics?
yes, my favorite part of the IC. Speaking of things I care less about, what do these song lyrics mean about Damian Lillard's future in Portland?
See?
That happened over
it
the
did.
Summer.
That's what I'm saying.
Totally did.
That's what I'm saying.
Damn.
Gotta be plugged in.
I think there's kind of an overflow of information, though, especially in sports.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't need to focus on all of it is kind of my thing. Like, how much is it really going to build your knowledge base to read, like, two more analysis of the same thing?
That's why I don't have alerts on other than, like, scoring updates or breaking news. Because if I want to go read a feature, I will have set aside
computer.
Time. Yeah. Or, like, I'll go to the app itself and I'll be like, oh, on The Athletic. What's the latest from Jason or whatever?
See, that's why I like the Bleacher Report, too, because they send you stuff that's not necessarily like you sit down and you read it, but it's more like if you're working in media, it's really good like stuff to use in other outlets. Like they'll send you a viral video or like something crazy that's happening. Like there's a video that somebody had posted out that was debunked later, but it was frigging hilarious of these dudes on top of the Oklahoma sports complex throwing stuff off the roof.
See, that's hilarious.
Yes, and saying, hey, it's Bob Stoops throwing out Lincoln Riley's stuff. And I got updated about that, and Bleacher Report was like, we don't know if this is real, but it's pretty funny. And I was like, yeah, that is funny.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Were they ripping the cellophane off of the windows?
I think they were ripping the copper wire out to sell it.
Ah.
That's the first thing you do when you quit a job.
Accusing like Bob Stoops of meth head stuff, like ripping the copper
wiring out. That is not meth head stuff. You can take that copper wire and apply it to a new construction home. You can flip a house with that copper wire.
Because so you're saying that it's construction workers that do it?
This whole conversation's over my head.
What do you mean?
That's like a thing is like on construction sites and homes that are vacant or people gone on vacation, like people break into their home and just like rip out the copper wiring.
Seriously.
And sell it. Yeah. Because you can
sell
it.
A lot of money.
A lot of money. Yeah.
Wow.
It's like the whole catalytic converters thing too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That I still like if you lined up five objects and asked me to point out which one was the catalytic converter, I wouldn't be able to figure it out.
Well, that depends on
what
objects.
Would say that? You know who would say that?
Somebody who gets
somebody who
over
steals. No, somebody that steals catalytic converters and wants to get people off her scent. McCord.
You caught me.
I don't even know what one looks like.
I have no idea.
Video's going to surface of you under a car.
I'm the person who spends $400 every time they go get their dang oil changed because they convinced me the car is about to fall apart. Okay? So, yeah, no, this is not some grand cover-up.
Yeah.
What an exciting time.
Dang, we
I'm
were
not
so close.
I'm not the catalytic converter thief.
I thought it was going to be my Scooby-Doo moment where I ripped the mask off and ha-ha!
No.
No, we didn't get you.
No, not that. But it would just be a very long, like, I don't know how much catalytic converters are going for, but it would have to be quite a bit to offset the amount that I get
True that.
Could have winked into when I go get an oil change.
True that. All right. We got sports to get to today because the Seahawks are in a free fall. Something's got to give there. We got a lot of NFL talk. We did not get to NFL yesterday because the coaching carousel was a turning.
My goodness. Hopping on, hopping off. Hopping on, hopping off. Couldn't
and here we go. Down. Another day, another blue blood program with an opening. It's starting to get squirrely, folks. AJ and Dusty on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Another day, another Blue Blood program loses its coach, and the job is open. This is getting wild. Brian Kelly, as first reported by Will Darkins yesterday on this show, taking the LSU job. And just saying, you know what? Gone.
I'm out.
Deuces. He out. He has left Notre Dame in... I hate when coaches do this because, like, Lincoln Riley, it happened really fast with him at USC.
Mm-hmm.
But at least, like, he stuck around before heading to LA.
Mm-hmm.
And he stuck around in Norman. Brian Kelly left South Bend, Indiana...
Went to Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
And signed a contract.
And then sent a text message to his players. I mean, it's the modern day Bobby Petrino letter in the lockers of the Falcons players where he sends a text message saying, hey, guys, really sorry you had to hear about this through the media, but we're going to have a team meeting tomorrow at 7 a.m. I still love you.
Yup.
I'll fill you in then. That is such BS.
And I think the thing that always gets me is, we just like made jokes about how these newsbreakers get their news.
Heck yeah.
But the reality is how many people were in the room when Brian Kelly was signing that contract? How many? Like at some point you can, if you can keep injuries and scandals and all this buttoned up at the college football level for years,
nothing got out from Les Miles.
I mean, I'm just saying you can button that up for years, but then when suddenly a college football coach is on the move, it's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know how that happened. Come on.
Yep.
You know how it happened, and it did happen, and Brian Kelly should have been far more adamant about, hey, this does not, like, that's a contingent of, like, this does not get out tonight. I break this to my players.
Well, that's also a problem with going down to Louisiana, though.
Yes.
And... filming a hype video even before you leave. What, you like the hype video?
No, I did not.
Oh, why not?
I did not.
What didn't you like about it? Was it the poor photoshopping and coloring on his navy blue turned purple visor?
Part A.
Okay.
Part A. Part B was how on earth, like, has LSU just been saving clips. If this happened as quickly as it did, right? Mm. Has LSU just been saving clips from like 10 different outlets and already asked Colin to record a video in case Brian Kelly becomes a head coach at LSU?
Oh, I do believe that there is somebody at LSU that is clipping out all positive quotes about their job opening. Oh. And I think Colin at the end was the only one who specifically mentioned.
But it wasn't just LSU. Kelly, it right? was Brian. No, I thought this video had Brian Kelly talking about.
Oh, yeah. He had it. Yeah.
Talking about how, like, oh, Brian Kelly's done X, Y, and Z at this spot. He's the winningest coach. So if this happened as quickly as it says, why do you have clips about how good Brian Kelly is from like a week ago?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
I know how long it takes to put together a minute and a half video.
Oh, wait, it's almost as if like college football is a little shady.
And here we are.
I feel like we're starting to see a change in the way that things are being handled, because immediately, like the 10-year, $95 million mm-hmm. that Brian Kelly was offered in from LSU, there's a lot of people saying, well, yeah, I mean, that can justify that one pretty quickly on that makes sense for us. Mm. Well, with players, it was always like fans always got so upset when an unpaid player chose to transfer to another school, right?
Or sit out a bowl game.
Yeah.
Do you remember how much flack, like I remember Christian McCaffrey sitting out for Stanford. And that was like he should be there for his team. Like, wait a minute. Did we just not talk about all the scenarios in which some chaos creation could lead to Notre Dame being in the playoff again?
Right. And that's getting, I hope it's not getting lost, because I hope that this happens. Mm. I hope that Notre Dame does sneak their way into the playoff this year. Because Brian Kelly leaves, this is the one last team that when the rankings come out, they'll probably be fifth.
Yeah.
Right? Which means you're a Michigan loss mm-hmm. or Alabama getting blown out away from them backing their way into the college football playoff and having, Marcus Freeman, their defensive coordinator, being the interim head coach.
Yep.
And could you remember this, by the way, from Brian Kelly? Earlier in the year when he said Marcus Freeman will be the next head coach at mm-hmm. Notre Dame. Do we remember that from like a month and a half ago, where it was like kind of that planting the seed that, hey, this guy is going to be the next guy to be the head coach here. He's going to be the head coach for their bowl game. It could be in the college football playoff.
Yep.
Where it may not be the best showing if they're the four seed and he gets run out of whatever stadium they're playing in against Georgia, but he could back his way into the interim head coach at Notre Dame for the college football playoff. And I do not root for Notre Dame, like really ever. I will be rooting for Notre Dame if they don't have a coach and they have to play Georgia as a four seed in the playoff and they win that game. 100% I'm on board for that.
Because the players are, again, the ones who are getting left behind, right? Like, this is not a situation where we already know how many of his assistants are coming with him to LSU. This is not a Lincoln Riley, they're already on the move and Oklahoma's out of the playoffs. This is a, you're leaving this team when the championship is still potentially ahead of you. And I'm not saying that's fine. The dude got offered a better job with more money. He wanted to move on. Great, fine, whatever. But if you're upset about players sitting out bowl games or transferring or whatever and saying they leave their team high and dry, just keep that same energy for Brian Kelly, not just leaving his team in the middle of a playoff run, but having them find out that he was leaving via a text message and social media.
That is one. And then saying, hey, we're going to have this meeting.
You have to set your alarm for 6:30.
That meeting was 11 minutes long today. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN, reported that the Brian Kelly meeting only lasted 11 minutes today. And this is like where we hear this all the time. Choose the program, not the coach. Mm. That's so not true. I mean, I wish that's the way it was, because it'd make this a whole lot easier for fans, players, and everybody involved. But this is the heartbreaking part for a lot of the situations, is that a lot of these guys are sitting there and going, I believed him, right? Mm. I thought that Brian Kelly was going to be here. I thought we were building something, you know, yada, yada, yada. And then poof, he's gone and he's going to tell you via text message and then bring you in for 11 minutes and say deuces, right?
That's 7 a.m.
Yeah. But I think they're used to that because we have early practices now. I think that's what I wonder how early that is. I'd be pretty upset about that, though.
An early practice.
I'm not going to that meeting.
Exactly.
I wouldn't even waste my time.
An early practice versus finding out what you already know from the coach that's bailing on you is different.
Not only that, but this should have been expected. I'm just going to put that out there. Does anybody remember how he left Cincinnati?
Mm. Anyone? Yeah, right before a big bowl game. Was it a Sugar Bowl?
Anyone remember the hilarity that happened once he did leave? The players finding out at a dinner function with ESPN interviewing them individually, saying, What do you think of your head coach leaving for Notre Dame? My what? Leaving for who?
Yeah, that is...
I did not remember that.
I remember that. It's hardcore.
It's a play out of the Brian Kelly playbook, but this is what coaching is, and these are how the guys operate.
Again, great, fine, whatever. You left for... I'm not mad that Brian Kelly's leaving Notre Dame. I understand why you do it. You want to try something new. You want a new challenge. You want to actually make it to the playoffs and have a chance at it. Fine. But I just don't want to hear, and I think we've gone away from it a little bit in recent years, but it's worth noting that when players do this, the reception is much different.
Not the best with the reception when the players leave, especially if it were to be in the dead of night, right? Could you imagine if the most important player on the team, so like say it were to be Kayvon Thibodeau or B.J. Baylor, right? In the middle of the night, they go down and visit, you know, USC. Alabama or USC. And then they're like, yeah, I'm out. Yep. See ya. Oh, by the way, I'm going to go play for SC. Well, SC's not a good example. Say SC made a bowl game.
There we go.
I'm going to go play for SC in their bowl game, mm-hmm. by the way.
Yes.
And you guys can figure out your situation because I'm out of here. That's what Brian Kelly did.
So Kelly's coaching at LSU for the bowl game?
He will be in place to coach. I doubt they're not going to be up to speed on X's and O's and stuff, but he's going to be on campus hosting recruits, working, and being a part of all things LSU football. So, for all intents and purposes, yes. He won't be X's and O's, you know, Brian Kelly, but he's going to be the head of the LSU program starting immediately.
Wow.
And so, like, that is, I mean, that's the, hey, put the shoe on the other foot, and where would it be? That would be huge if, like, a Kayvon Thibodeau or a B.J. Baylor were to do something like that and just be like, bye.
See you later. Good luck.
But it's the world of coaching, and everybody's like, there's millions of dollars at stake.
Yep.
I'm just glad name, image, and likeness may actually keep more kids around certain campuses because of the fact that there is something to keep them there now monetarily.
Yep.
But we do have another Blue Blood program opened up. Now, we went from having LSU and Florida open to and USC open to now we have all three of those jobs, Florida, LSU, and USC are closed.
Yep.
But Oklahoma is open and Notre Dame is open.
Hmm.
Which is the better job right now? 503-250-1080. Here's Will.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
All right, I got this question for you here. 503-250-1080. Which job is better, write me out, Notre Dame or Oklahoma? I feel like this question could have been asked in the 70s and still be as relevant as now. These are two blue blood programs. And I went and I looked this up. There are 30 different programs that have won national championships in college football.
Okay.
In the, what we call the AP poll era. So since 1936, because like Yale and Princeton, they hold like a bunch of titles from like 1901. Right. Mm. But 30 programs have won titles. 19 programs have won multiple national championships. Okay. Alabama's the leader. They won 13. Right.
Yep.
In a row after is Notre Dame has won 8 titles. USC has won 7. Oklahoma has won 7. Those three jobs, 2, 3, and 4 of the most national championships ever have all opened up this year. Jeez. In one recruiting cycle, right? Or in one offseason coaching cycle. LSU in Florida also have multiple national titles. LSU has won 4. Florida has won 3. So you're looking at 5 of the 19 programs that have won multiple national titles have opened up. It's over a quarter, and we might not be done because Miami has won five, and it appears that they're going to fire Manny Diaz probably.
Sheesh.
So you could have six programs totaling 34 national championships that opened up. Like, this is an unprecedented coaching cycle that we've seen, because it's not rare to see an LSU and a Florida and a USC open up at the same time. But to go and take the new coach from another blue blood, that is new.
Yep.
Because we've seen, it's pretty rare to have, like, you know, the Jimbo Fisher goes from Florida State over to Texas A&M, right? But this is Oklahoma taking, or USC taking Oklahoma's coach. Mm-hmm. And then the same day, LSU's going, all right, fine, we'll take Notre Dame's coach.
Yep.
And that is unprecedented when you have like two of them happening at the same time. And so I asked the question, which job is better, Notre Dame or Oklahoma right now? Because we might not be done with this unprecedented like ripping of coaches from prominent programs.
I think Notre Dame's a better job.
Notre Dame?
I think so. Because Oklahoma, because Notre Dame is already on the brink of a playoff spot, right? They have made the playoffs in recent years. So has Oklahoma. But Notre Dame.
Oklahoma's gotten run out of the playoffs just as many times.
Exactly. So both of those teams have recent playoff exposure, but Notre Dame is on the brink of it this year. And nothing, as far as we know, right, is changing with Notre Dame's conference, quote unquote, as far as who they play, their schedule, all that jazz. Oklahoma is going to change drastically who they play when they go from the Big 12 to the SEC.
That is such a great point.
And I just don't think that if I'm whether I'm getting pulled from another program or I'm making my debut as a head coach, if I'm choosing between Notre Dame and Oklahoma, where do I want to go? Oh, Notre Dame has like this built-in excuse of not having to play a conference championship game every year. Notre Dame gets to play great teams and build up ranked opponents while never actually having to go through the gauntlet of a conference schedule. And they're on the brink of backdooring their way into the playoffs this year. Or do I want Oklahoma, who just got beat by Oklahoma State, who has been up and down in recent like wins, losses, and not in the Big 12 alone. And now they're going to go to the SEC and they're going to have to play Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, A&M. Like, you can go down the list of challenging programs that you have to face in the SEC each and every year just via your conference schedule. And I'm signing up for Notre Dame.
This text, 503-250-1080, Oklahoma in the SEC, it'll be an Elsoran. That's why Lincoln left. LSU and Florida have an Alabama and Georgia problem now. Now, Texas and Oklahoma, they have the same one. That is what you're saying, and it is true. But you do have the, we're Oklahoma still, and you have inroads in Texas and already some inroads in California. That's why this will be an interesting hire for them.
Yes.
Because you still do have a ton of resources and a ton of passion surrounding your program.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at Notre Dame, like this text says, Notre Dame is a much harder job to recruit to. Recruiting with a seriously high academic standard can kneecap a new head coach. Just can't get certain players like Oklahoma. And that's what, you know, there are certain guys where, whether it's Stanford, Notre Dame, Northwestern, you just throw some kids right out because they're not going to be able to qualify academically.
Right.
Now, if you really want a kid, you're going to get them.
You can make a way.
You're going to get them.
Yeah.
Then you just go to admins and you say, this is a national championship kid. And they go, okay, bring them on in. Yep. Right. But you only get a finite amount of them. Whereas at Oklahoma, it's like, does he have a pulse? Let's bring him in.
Qualifies.
Yeah. I think, too, it goes back to a conversation we had like a month ago where we were saying tradition, right? Like, what is the real pull to go to Notre Dame at this point if you're a recruit?
Yeah. Well, it is the ability to play for a national title, and there are kids that are interested in rich history.
So,
I mean, there is that.
So let me compare who Notre Dame's probably going after to other schools that kid has offers to. Probably LSU, probably Florida, probably Georgia, probably Clemson.
Yep.
Probably every top five school. What do those have that Notre Dame probably doesn't have? Resources and money. And when the kid goes to campus and starts to see how much the football program is centerfold in Notre Dame's whoever's focus, Alabama, Georgia, wherever they're going, and then they go to Notre Dame and it's not quite as much, you're probably going to pick the other school.
I just don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that they necessarily can compete with Alabama, but
they need to.
Well, but I'm saying that there's a lot of Notre Dame's football program is really important, like to the school. And as far as money and resources go, let's not forget who alumni are at Notre Dame. Like, yeah, if they want to jump in and pour into NIL or resources for the football program, I don't think that those pockets are necessarily all that much more shallow.
So do you think
they were a top 10 recruiting class last year? They were ninth.
So do you think they countered that offer for Kelly?
Notre Dame?
No. Yeah.
No, they just said, screw it, see you later.
$95 million, 10 years, $95 million. No, bye.
Yeah.
He gone.
All right.
503-250-1080. That is the fan text. And we got a lot of really good feedback coming in, and we need to get to some of it. But we may have a guest coming up next, depending on his workout schedule.
Oh.
Oregon Duck safety, Verone McKinley. He has had one hell of a season for the Ducks, and they're back in the Pac-12 championship. He joins us next, AJ and Dusty on The Fan.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
The Oregon Ducks are going to be in the Pac-12 title game again right here on The Fan coming up Friday evening down in Las Vegas, Nevada. And to talk a little bit about the Ducks season, his journey through it is a Jim Thorpe Award finalist, the nickname the General, Verone McKinley, kind enough to join us. You just got done with a workout, man. Thanks for taking a few minutes for us. How you doing?
Good, no doubt. Appreciate it.
What was it? Was it a leg day today? What was the workout today?
It was a little
today?
Total body. We hit a couple of things. We hit upper body and a little bit of lower. We do both, so.
You know, as you guys are going through the season, I always find it interesting how workouts change and you adapt from your off season to the in season. At what point are you guys at the workout? I mean, you guys you're feeling those bumps and bruises throughout the course of a season. How is your body holding up? And how have you guys like tapered off at this point in the year?
You know, you always got to make a couple adjustments just because, you know, throughout that duration of the season, but we take care of our bodies. We do some rehab stuff, especially as a team. They always emphasize going in and making sure we take care of our bodies, get treatment, getting cold tubs, hot tubs, stem, all different things. So,
Verone, I talked with you after the game against Oregon State, and I know that Utah loss left such a bad taste in your guys' mouth. As soon as you won the game against Oregon State, realized you'd punched your ticket to get a rematch against them. How much of a fire has that lit underneath you guys, knowing that you get another chance at a team that you did not play well against a few weeks ago?
We're excited. You know, that we felt that wasn't us, and honestly, that was probably the worst we've played since I've been here. So it's time. It's time to go. We're excited. We're ready to go, and we know what type of game it's going to be, and we're coming to it ready to play.
You know, if you guys play a physical brand. I mean, that's one of the things that when Coach Chris Baugh came in, he said that's what he wanted to establish was that physical brand of football. And, you know, to that point, you know, when you guys went down to Salt Lake City, the physicality was brought to you guys. How do you guys attack that mentally as far as it's the bow your back time?
You know, it's about your mindset. And I feel like we're going into this mindset. We know how it looked the first time we played them, and it's not going to look like that again. Mm-hmm. We got to take it to them. We got to start from the very first snap, whether that's kickoff, kickoff return. It starts there. We got to win all three phases, special teams, offense, defense. Every play matters. Every second matters, and we're going all the way till the clock says 0-0-0, being physical, punching them in the mouth. They're going to throw a couple of shots. That's just how football goes, but we're going to get up, and we're going to swing and keep swinging.
You certainly sound like somebody who's ready to go to war, so I have to ask you, where did the General nickname come from?
It started probably into last year just because I control everything back there. So it was like kind of like the General, and that's just kind of started to form. And then, of course, this year it really blew up just with the way I've been playing. So that's kind of how that started.
We're talking with Verone McKinley, safety for the Oregon Ducks, heading down to the Pac-12 championship game. You know, Coach Cristobal says you take in every win, you celebrate it 24 hours, then you hit that reset button. When you wrap up the North Division and you win a rivalry game, does it feel a little bit different with you and your teammates kind of notching that first checkpoint off of your goals for the season?
Definitely, but we really didn't even celebrate it. We've been here before. We know how to handle ourselves. We're poised about it. But we lost to a team 2 weeks ago, and we lost in a very terrible fashion. Mm-hmm. So we were locked. We were ready to focus on Utah. Has been the focus since the clock hit 0-0-0, pretty much. We celebrated it in the locker room, and then we're like, we got to get back to work here in the next morning, getting ready to go. We know what it is. We know what type of game is going to be. We're excited. You could tell I'm ready to go.
I know. I think you wish the game was tonight as opposed to Friday.
Exactly.
Now, one of the things that I think is really fun that we've gotten to see off the field from you this year is a little bit more of your personality in the Check Fade podcast. And that is something that you and I have talked about, too, is just how much you enjoy breaking down plays and doing analytics. How have you seen that? How has that developed, I guess, this year? And have you seen that affect your ability to see the field as a player anymore, given how much analysis and breakdown you're doing for your podcast?
This year it's been good. People have been busy, so we've tapered off a little bit, just a couple episodes, but we're still trying to get back into the flow of it. We've had some really good episodes. We're trying to get some more guest people on there, some more different topics besides just talking football and the NFL. But then also for me and watching film and seeing different things, it definitely helps me. Like, for instance, the other day I was watching Seattle versus Arizona, the All-22, because I was watching Buda Baker specifically. And so just seeing the game from that perspective helps me implement things into my game. And I think he had ran the alley or something. And then, boom, we go play Oregon State, and I do the exact same thing. So it's just always helping me learn, always helping me understand deeper, because I'm not a finished product, and I know it can always get better.
I'm kind of worried you're coming after our jobs, though. You know, you're getting in the podcast game already. But you mentioned Buda Baker and watching All 22. Obviously, Buda is a guy that there are similarities between yours and his game. Who are the other guys that you kind of pick and choose from around the NFL that you go, I like what he does, and I see a similarity between he and I?
Buda Baker, Tyrann Mathieu, Quandre Diggs. I like Kevin Byard a lot and Minkah Fitzpatrick. I like those probably a lot. Those are probably the ones that I watch the most.
That makes sense. So with the game plan for Utah this week, you talked about physicality. Is that the biggest – what is the biggest emphasis for you guys heading into Utah this week? What's the biggest tenet of your identity that you want to establish early and often?
Playing with that chip on our shoulder, with that confidence, that's big this week. But three things, probably just the physicality, the execution, and being disciplined. That's the three things right there. We do those things, I think it'll take care of itself.
Now, when you guys are heading down, the business trip goes down to Vegas. This is going to be the first time heading into a new facility. Mm. What's the mindset when you go down and you're heading into, you know, what they call the Death Star down there, the big, you know, dome in Allegiant Stadium, and heading into a new place? Because you guys have had great success down in Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium, and now it's somewhere new for the Pac-12 championship game.
Still a business trip. They can put the ball down in a Walmart parking lot. Still got to do what we got to do. So it's a business trip. We'll see the stadium. We know it's a nice stadium, but we got to handle business. It's a team that we lost to 2 weeks ago that embarrassed us. So
we have got Verone McKinley. Check out his podcast, the Check Fade podcast. He does it with Jared Taylor and Trevor Trout. You can download it where you can get your podcast, and you can hear him right here on The Fan Friday night in the Pac-12 championship game. Man, we really appreciate you taking a few minutes after your workout and joining us. Good luck in the Pac-12 championship game and your bowl game coming up.
Appreciate it. No doubt.
There he is, Verone McKinley. You think about that, and that is a really interesting nugget that he gives us with watch the film of Buda Baker, mm-hmm. watching the All-22, sees him run the alley, and then gets the exact same read in a rivalry game against Oregon State and does the exact same thing.
And that's something that he and I have talked about media before, because he's been passionate about breaking down film and figuring out what life after him playing looks like. And that's something that I think he would do incredibly well, because he has the ability to not just take in and analyze film, but then to be able to translate that to your game so quickly after that, and then to break it down to us after that, that's a very unique set of skills to translate to all different forms.
Also, you gotta sit there, and if you are an Oregon fan and you hear him say you put the ball in the Walmart parking lot, that is there's a different mentality mm-hmm. coming into this game based on what happened 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
I mean, it's that is a real thing where they felt the embarrassment from a loss and a heavy-handed loss down in Salt Lake City. And we talk about this with Oregon, how they came out in the Civil War, right? Mm-hmm. And you say that team, you know, when they are locked in, it is a different looking football team. It sounds like that edge is there for this rematch.
Well, and I can tell you, I was
as it should be.
Exactly. I was at the rivalry game. I talked to the Ducks players and Oregon State players right after the game ended. And already Oregon was like, we're done. We're moving on. This is great. And also, now we're on to Utah.
They pulled a Bill Belichick. We're on to Cincinnati, huh?
I mean, it was very quickly like Verona, I remember saying in the post-game press conference, saying, we're on to Friday. Because they want this Utah team bad. And they had one less day to prepare than Utah did for them.
Well, you can hear right here on The Fan. Our pre-game coverage will start at, what, 3?
Sure.
P.M. It's 5 o'clock kick, right?
Yeah.
Leading you up. Or I guess it'll start at...
No, you guys are going to be on for an hour.
Yeah.
And then it'll start at 1 with Ducks game day, and then 2 hours, Jerry and Jorgie all the way up.
I forgot we are 4 hours of pregame.
All the pregame content you could ever hope for.
Perfect.
If you weren't ready for the game before, now you are.
Bingo.
If you are not ready after listening to our pregame coverage, you're a lost cause.
It's true.
Whoa.
No, I stand by her.
4 hours.
Yeah.
You sure about that?
If you are not ready for the game after 4 hours of pregame.
Yeah, we're going to write you off.
I'm just saying.
That's a big statement.
Yeah.
I didn't mean it to be that big.
If you're not ready, Will, I'm writing you off.
Oh, I'm never ready.
You should be born ready.
All right.
I should be.
We were talking in the coaching carousel before this. We will revisit that coming up in the next hour. Because the Notre Dame versus Oklahoma job, we had some really good feedback, thoughtful feedback on what blue bloods are and looking at those two jobs, because we've now had 5 open up with multiple national titles. Mm-hmm. I will consider them a blue blood if you're one of 19 programs to win multiple titles.
Congratulations.
Including the 3 winningest outside of Alabama. There are no counties. with Notre Dame, USC, and Oklahoma, along with LSU. Those 4 programs have a ton of titles, and they all open up at the same time. Are we going to be done as well? That your feedback next hour. But where we got to start the 1 o'clock hour? Seahawks are in a free fall.
Uh-oh.
Something's got to give.
Yes.
AJ and Dusty on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.